Now, what's this? My lords and members of the House of Commons, my government will legislate in the interests of everyone in our country. Amazing what you can find rolled up inside an Evening Standard on the tube. One usually always travelled in a carriage, but I didn't think it was that sort. Yes, it was the 62nd time the Queen had made a speech at the state opening of Parliament. She was excused in 1959 and 1963 when she was pregnant, in case you wondered. It lasted 8 minutes and 26 seconds, a little less than the average of 9 minutes and 50 seconds. But what did it do for public health? Well, Chartered Institute of Environmental Health Chief Executive Graham Dukes made a quick response, calling on the government to put more emphasis on preventative public health measures, including the role of environmental health professionals in cutting costs to the NHS. There are also concerns about plans to further prune red tape to reduce the load on small businesses. There's certainly a fine line there, as many small business owners will agree, that effective regulation, which allows the good guys to prosper while weeding out the cowboys, is in fact an advantage in terms of economic growth. Then there's the plans to extend the right to buy to housing association tenants that threatens to reduce the social housing stock, pushing tenants into the private rented sector, where there are fewer enforcement officers due to budget cuts to ensure standards meet even the minimum level. A recent survey by the Citizens Advice Bureau found that 740,000 households, including 510,000 children, were living in accommodation that presented a severe threat to their safety. It will also be interesting to see if all the receipts from selling properties off are invested back in house building programmes. So what else is on the cards? Well, the Energy Bill will transfer the responsibility for giving consent for any large onshore wind farms in England and Wales from Whitehall to local planning authorities, which may prove interesting as it could well see a completely inconsistent framework across the country. And there will also be the Cities and Local Government Devolution Bill, which will pave the way for powers over housing, transport and planning to devolve to English cities. Yes, the same ones being forced to cut staff because of constant budget cuts. Also included in the Queen's speech were plans to introduce a blanket ban on so-called legal highs, covering production, sale and use of the substances that have been linked to a number of deaths. A new psychoactive substance bill will carry a maximum penalty of 7 years in jail. Alcohol, tobacco and caffeine will be exempt, as will products for food and medicinal use. The supply of nitrous oxide for human use will also be banned, although thankfully it's used to calibrate local authority air quality monitoring equipment and will be exempt. Up until now, each legal high has had to be judged on its merits, and with over 100 new substances appearing on the market every year, authorities have understandably been struggling to keep up. OK, now it's official. 73% of shop-bought chickens are contaminated with Campylobacter, which the media might like to note is a foodborne illness, not a food poisoning organism, as they insist on calling it. Sorry, ran over. The results of the FSA year-long survey revealed that 24% of birds were contaminated with the highest level of contamination, while 12% of packaging also carried the bug. Campylobacter cases are running at about 280,000 every year, far higher than any other foodborne illness. While all the major retailers failed to reach FSA targets, Marks and Spencer's, Morrisons, the Co-op and Waitrose have had some success in reducing levels. The survey will now continue for another year to further investigate the moves taken by the industry to try and solve the problem. A study in the European Respiratory Journal, which looked at 1.6 million hospital admissions of under-14s from 2001 to 2012, found that since the smoking ban in 2006, 11,000 fewer children have been admitted to hospital with lung infections. Estimated that hospital admissions for children with respiratory infections fell by 3.5% immediately after the ban was introduced. Globally, though, there's still plenty of work to be done, as less than one-sixth of the world's population is currently protected by anti-smoking laws. It's estimated that about 40% of children around the world are regularly exposed to secondhand smoke. While the once beautiful game is being dragged through the mire by American lawyers, we've been shocked by one piece of evidence of FIFA's problems. Health and safety is not a subject that usually commands the headlines until something goes wrong. Tragically, one construction worker did lose his life during the works involved in London 2012, while 10 workers lost their lives in the 2014 Brazil World Cup. To date, in Qatar, for a World Cup that is still 7 years away, the death toll has reached 1,200. No, you didn't dream that. I did say 1,200. It'll get worse as the International Trade Union Confederation estimates that 4,000 workers will die in Qatar by the time 2022 arrives. Air quality was high on the agenda of the World Health Organization recently. In fact, it was the first time that the UN agency's supreme decision body, the World Health Assembly, had debated the topic of air pollution, which it described as the world's single biggest environmental health risk. With delegates from all 194 WHO member countries in attendance at the 68th annual meeting, the resolution adopted highlights the key role of national health authorities in raising awareness of the issue and cut health costs. There are an estimated 4.3 million deaths worldwide every year attributed to poor indoor and outdoor air quality. Finally, on this edition, while the effects of excessive noise on hearing is well known, it appears that listening to your favourite bands at top volume could also be increasing your waistline. Well, not quite. But a study from Sweden has suggested that traffic noise could be adding to the obesity crisis. They studied 5,075 people living in five suburban and rural areas around Stockholm. Researchers found exposure to traffic, aircraft and train noise resulted in a larger waist size. There was a 0.21 centimetre increase in waist size for every additional 5 decibel increase in exposure to road traffic noise, most notably among women. The more sources of noise pollution a person was exposed to at the same time, the greater risk of a larger waist. The study drew no firm conclusions as to what the results all mean, but I'm sure they enjoyed the research check. That's it for another couple of weeks, and hold on, what's written on the top of this Queen's speech I found on the tube? Must remember to get a couple of chickens for dinner. Your Majesty! Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, presented and produced by Pete Hill. All comments made are purely personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.